on, if you're glad, give God some praise. If you're glad that he's able to do the impossible, give God some praise, because he's worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Can't nobody do us like he can. In spite of our shortcomings, he's still a good God. And in spite of our mess up, he still straightened us out. What a good God we serve. He allowed us to come up in here this morning. So it's just right to give his name some praise. It's just right to say, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I adore you. I lift you, because I know I don't deserve it. But there's something about your grace and your mercy that allowed me to be here today. And I got to give your name the praise. I got to bless you. Bless your name, Father. Bless your name. Bless your name, Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you saying thank you. Thank you for all your many blessings. Father, thank you for keeping us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for making us, Father. Thank you for preserving us, Father. Thank you for your word, Father. We pray this morning, Father, that you would just simply have your way. Bless in a mighty way. Father, if we never needed you before, we need you now. To have your way, Father. Speak a word to your people, Father God. Speak a word to your people. And then, Father, if there's somebody in the house that don't know you and the pardon of their sin, Father, we pray that you would touch their heart, Father God. That you would lead them, Father. Bless now, Father God. We pray, Father, that they don't see me, but they see you. Have your way. We pray that you would get the glory, Father God. Use us, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Now, come on and give the Lord a hand praise. Come on and let's bless him, bless him, bless him. You know how good God has been to you. Forget about who's sitting next to you. Just give him some praise. Because he's the only one that can keep you. He's the only one that can take care of you. He's the only one that can shield you. His unconditional love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have your Bibles. We ask that you would stand for the reading of God's word. Amen, amen. Titus chapter 2. We're going to deal with a theme. Titus chapter 2. Let's start with the first verse. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, and keepers at the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Just for a few minutes this morning, just for a few minutes, I simply want to talk about a woman of influence. To God, for all of his many things he has done. To our pastor, first lady, officers, mothers, you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning, I just simply want to talk to you this morning. Just want to talk this morning. Talk a little about, as we celebrate this Women's Day, I remember a couple years ago, I spoke at the Women's Day program. We talked about wise women build, foolish women tear down. Wise women build, foolish women tear down. Well, this morning I want to talk about women of good influence. Good influence. Because there are some women that pose a bad influence on people today. Amen?
Amen.
Titus was commissioned by Paul to challenge the false teaching and the false living and to teach the things which are fitted for sound doctrine. In order to strengthen the testimony of the churches for the gospel of salvation, Titus and the elders had been appointed, were commanded to teach about right living, holy living, and about sound doctrine. They were not to be intimidated. They were to be aggressive in their teaching of this sound doctrine and holiness. The elders were given regular and careful pastoral instructions about practical Christian living for today. They were told to live holy living. Now, it's nothing deep. It's amazing how this scripture is just plain. Anybody can understand. It's just plain. It's straightforward, to the point. It's nothing deep. It amazes me how we mess stuff up. We make stuff deep. We try to do this. But let's just read what the word says this morning. Amen. And Titus 2, the Holy Spirit prescribes a series of binding requirements that are necessary for members of a healthy church to have an evangelistic impact on this world. You know our job is to evangelize.
All right.
Are we guilty of it as a church? Are we guilty? Are we guilty of the many programs that we have in our church? We have the Women's Day. We have the Men's Day. We have the Pastor Day. We have the Big Hat Day. We have Pack the Pew Day. We have the Food Drive, the Building Drive. We have all of those days. But when are we going to have a day of evangelism? Evangelism. This book of Titus deals with everybody in the church, not just the women. So I can't just talk about the women and leave out the men. Because if we begin to do our jobs in which the Lord has called us to do, maybe the church, this world, would be in a better place. Just maybe. Sound doctrine means healthy. Paul uses the word 9 times in this pastoral epistle, 5 times in Titus alone, always in the sense that the truth produces spiritual well-being and healthiness. The thing Paul mentioned pertaining to truth is attitude, actions that corresponds to our basic truths. Basics. Not only to please God, but also to have an effective witness to the unbeliever. God's people must know the truth that leads to spiritual healthiness. Older men refer to those of advanced age, using a different term from one translated from the word elder. Reverence to requirement is not limited to just reverencing God, but also refers to being honorable men and being noble men, that they are to be sensible and spiritually healthy as older men.
Yeah. All right.
The New King James Version says that the older men be sober, reverent, tempered, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. Old age is associated with some things sometimes for as maturity, wisdom, and patience. But let's be real. Not always old age is that.
Come on now. Come on.
It can be increasing. It can be associated with decreased energy, diminishing vision, diminishing hearing, aches and pains, hopelessness, and sarcasm. Even older men sometimes need to be admonished to show the basic values that we have today. All older men are to live holy, model lives before the Lord, before the church, and before the world. They are to abandon the recklessness, the impulsiveness, the thoughtlessness, and that are some of our youth display today. Now, isn't it a shame when you see an aged person acting a complete...
Come on now. Come on.
Can we be real this morning? Some of our aged people, and I'm not talking about nobody in New Jerusalem, so don't get upset. But I've run across some aged folk that you look at them twice and wonder what is their age, because they're acting more their shoe size than their age. I have run across some aged, some experienced people that are in the church, been in the church all of their lives, but and it comes down to something. They got something to say about something. I'm not saying that they're messy. I'm just saying they act messy ways. But I'm saying, have you ever ran across some aged folk that just don't act like they have a relationship with the Lord? And they be the first one to tell you, baby, you just young. You need to get there. Well, baby, you are old and you should be there. I just come to let you know, just because you are at an age, do you have a relationship with the Lord? So now, can I talk about the women for a minute? A woman of influence. Women today, you are vital in this world today, vital in the church, vital. It bothers me when I see older women talking about some of the young women, but they don't help the young women. They don't help the young women. Now you know, baby, your dress is too tight. Why are you telling the other older women instead of telling that baby about it? And the other thing is, if the dress is too tight or whatever the case may be, wouldn't it be better if you talk to that person and say, baby, is there anything I could do instead of putting your lips on the child, but encourage the child? We all have been there. We all have messed up. We all have messed up. We all have messed up. We all continue to mess up. But there's something about God's grace and mercy. Aren't you glad God doesn't do us like we do other folk? Aren't you glad that God don't talk about us like we talk about folk? Aren't you glad God gives us another chance? Aren't you glad to know that God steps in, that he can handle it, whatever it is? Now, the word likewise, this word gives us a clue that the verses are connected to each one.
Yes, sir.
Paul wrote to Titus, who was pastoring the believers in Crete, so that he should set in order the things are lacking in the church. Paul also instructed Titus in 2 and 1 and 15 that he must teach what is accorded with sound doctrine. These things are the things he should teach. Note the phrase sound doctrine. It means these teachings are not bad but good for us. Have you ever had to take some medicine because you were sick? I remember when I was a kid and I had a real bad cold, and there was a medicine that my mom used to give, and it was called 666. And if you know about 666, if that didn't get rid of the problem, you were dead then. Something just didn't act right with the 666, but it did its job. It did its job. That's the same way with God's word. It may not feel good going down, but it's good for us. You see, we will find that false teachers were attacking the early church. That's why Paul gave the instructions on what to teach to various groups in the church. In verse 2, he talked about men in the church. In verse 3 through 5, the women in the church. In verse 6 through 8, the young people. And in verse 9 through 10, the slave. I encourage you to read this. Titus, it's a short book. Just read it. Note that Paul focused on relationship, particularly the family. Always remember, as the family goes, so goes the church. No amount of success in business or ministry will ever compensate for the failure in the home. Paul links our conduct to our families with the grace of God. He says, God has shown us how kind he is by coming to save all people. He taught us to give up our wicked ways, our worldly desires, and to live decent and honest living in this world. If we live the way God wants us to live, it says in verse 5, no one will blaspheme the word of God. If we live the way God wants us to live, it also says in verse 8 that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. And if we live the way God wants us to live, it also says in verse 10 that in every way they will make the teachings about God, our Savior, attractive. People will ask, what makes you so different? Why are you so strange? Why are you peculiar? How can you become a woman of good influence? Question, how can you become a woman of good influence? First of all, you must set an example in the way you live. If I would pose and ask for the ladies to simply raise their hands, as you guys prepared for this Women's Day, how much chaos or confusion happened? It's a shame, people. It is a shame. We argue and fuss and fight over a program that we don't have Christ as the center. It is a shame we argue, fuss, and fight about colors we put on. It's a shame we fuss and fight about who is going to do this, who is going to do that. It is a crying shame that Christian women will fight over a Women's Day program. Would it be something else if you heard a fight about we're wrestling and running to get to the church because we got some lost souls in the pews? Wouldn't it be something else if we're running to church because we want to evangelize? We want to welcome this sister that's living in the house right next door on the church parking lot. Wouldn't it be something else? But no, we have to dress up and look good. And y'all looking good. Y'all looking good. Baby, you look good to me. You look good. But after the program, what have we accomplished?
When we walk out of this sanctuary today, what have we accomplished? Has there been any souls saved? Can we just be real? Can we just be real? I didn't come here to badmouth the women, didn't come here to badmouth the men or nobody. But I come to be real. Come to be real. Are we real with our service, with our ministry? Or do we fight over the littlest things? Older women. You gotta set example for the younger women. You gotta set examples for the younger women. If you see a younger woman walk past you and don't say hi, baby, how you doing? How you doing? It's all right. Trust me, it's all right if you speak to them. You see them again, baby, how you doing? I guarantee you by the third time you see them, they're going to speak to you because of your spirit. And you know, we can be some mean, messy folk. Let's be honest. We can be some. Sometimes I'm scared to speak to folk, but you got to speak and keep going. How you doing? How you doing? Speak and keep going. Keep it moving. But what would it take for us to say hi? Instead of doing these things, a godly woman teaches what is good. Yes, women, you are commanded to involve yourself in a ministry of women ministering to women. Why can't the women minister to the women?
Come on.
Who better to minister to a woman than a woman that may know the problem that you're going through? Not taking anything away from the men, but you may know the problem that the sister is going to. Why can't we minister to them? Maybe because we have some women that's not messy, but do messy things that might want to put your business out. But you continue to pray and you continue to do what God's will is. Secondly, to become a woman of good influence, you must encourage other women.
That's right.
It amazes me how be out to eat and the women, you know, you sit down and she at the table and we getting ready to eat, and then another circle sister walks by, and that sister can look up and down and tell you what that sister got the shoes from, whether she got the good weave or she got the bad weave. She can tell you if that suit was a Michael Kors or the purse was a Michael Kors. Isn't it amazing? With about a minute look, she done scoped her up and down. Now she know that red heels are not real red bottoms. Isn't it amazing? But what would it hurt for a sister to say, baby, you know you look good today. You got that hair laid, whether it's yours or somebody's else. It's looking good. When you live the way you should live according to God's word, then you can train young women. All of us, men and women, are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples, to teach what is good, and to train others. In one translation, it says, guide older women into lives of reverence so they end up as neither gossipers nor drunks, but models of goodness. Yes, by looking at them, the younger women will know how to. Yes, sir. How to. Yes, sir. You have to walk the talk. Yes. Then we have to talk the walk. We must model it. Then you model others to become models of the Lord. What are you going to teach them? What
or are you going to teach them? Next, to love their husbands. Women of good influence are devoted to their husbands. Ladies, the best way to show you this devotion is by being subject to your husbands and to submit to your husband, to put your husband first. It does not say submit if your husband is worthy of submission.
Come on.
It says submit. That does not mean you can't disagree. That does not mean that you can't disagree. But you do it in such a way that you don't rebel against your husband. You can disagree and still submit. Next, train the young women to love their children. Someone wrote this. They wrote this. It says, the right relationship between a husband and a wife is the first responsibility and priority in the home. For the relationship is the foundation of the parent's ability to properly love and care for their children. The home is where life makes up its mind, for it is the home that children develop a proper view of men and women, of love, marriage, respect for others, and even of God's love as they see it modeled in their home by their parents. So, train the young women to be self-controlled and pure. Self-control is a quality of a Christian's need in all areas of life. But in our text, the focus is more on self-control that promotes sexual purity. I know we don't want to talk about sex. And we're not just talking about avoiding fornication and adultery. We must also avoid mental and emotional adultery and fornication. That is, we must keep our lustful thinking away. Pray. And the only way that we can do it, if we're going to be real, is to pray and go before the Lord on a continuous basis. But I know I'm talking to super saints. You may not struggle with that. But for those of us who might be struggling with it, I've got the answer, and the answer is Jesus the Christ. He's the only one that can control our mind. But you got to put something in it for him to control that mind. Lastly, it says that we should train young women to be kind. That means you should be gentle and considerate, even when those who you know don't deserve your kindness.
Amen.
Y'all know that's hard to do.
Yeah.
But that's the word. He got it simple, plain. That's the word. How do you become a woman of good influence? First, you must set an example in the way you live. Second, you must encourage other women. And then we must be about our Father's business. You can lead a person to Christ and take care of that person so that she can grow in her faith in the Lord. And when you do that, you can also become a woman of a good influence. You may not have a special day picked out for you, but you can still be a woman of good influence. You see, a woman of good influence cleans her house. A woman of bad influence steps over the mess. A woman of good influence keeps her kids clean. A woman of bad influence takes the child support and buys new weave and keeps the daddy away. A woman of good influence keeps the peace. A woman of bad influence knows that she's a troublemaker and causes confusion in the house and in the church, in the job. A woman of good influence put herself last.
But a woman of bad influence is selfish and all about her. My question, who will you be? A woman of good influence takes care of her husband so he won't have to go nowhere else. But a woman of bad influence allows herself to be the side piece or the side chick. A woman of good influence blesses the Lord and prays daily, prays for her family, keeps her husband prayed up. But a woman of bad influence is great and proud to be known as the thought around the corner. Will you be a good woman of influence? The book of Proverbs ends the book with a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. Also, it says her charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own work praise her in the gates. So my question today, as I take my seat, women, are you in the house today? Are you in the house today? Will you be a woman of influence? Will you be a woman of influence? Will you be a woman that loves the Lord? Will you be a praying woman? Will you be a kind woman? Will you be a forgiving woman? Will you be a just woman? Or will you be a bad woman of influence?